The Beautiful Accident by Maureen Marsh.
It takes two to make an accident, and only one, it would seem, to be happy about it. She gazes up at me with those large Bambi eyes that always look like she's about to burst into tears. Hesitant smile. But she's ecstatic. Any fool can tell. The energy in the room is electric as she hands me the little plastic stick with two pink stripes on. It's clear that the little accident has produced an accidental outcome which is anything but little. She's willing me to be ecstatic too, I know it, but all I can muster up is an unconvincing crooked smile. I catch sight of myself in her bedside mirror and note that the smile is yet to reach my eyes. She's made that note too, and her smile starts to fade a little as she senses my abandonment, even in this fragile of moments when joy really needs to be the defining factor. Oh, wow, I stutter out, shaking my head. Wow. Her gaze is now intense and serious. That's great. Really? The smile is back. Yeah, sure. I didn't know how you'd take it, she sighs, a premature exhale. A huge contraction is felt in my guts and irrational hatred takes over me. I'm seized by a desire to throttle the life out of her. Charlotte was meant to be my spare, my faithful spare, when all other options fail me, and perhaps when I'm old and no one else will have me, perhaps then I'll have her. I mean, she's a plain Jane from Stange, you know, a 6.5 out of 10, mousy hair, a little on the plump side, a little cellulite-y. Smells nice though, like peach ice cream. Okay for now, but not for anything serious, not for actually taking on. She picks up her twee red kitten mug from the bedside table and takes a sip. I stare down with a feeling of contempt and rage and then realise she has spotted something. She throws me a serious look. I know you were not expecting that, and nor was I, but I really think we can make a go of it, George. I really do. She fixes me with an enigmatic smile. Life really does throw some curveballs, doesn't it? I mean, like one minute I was ready to move to Germany and the next, well, Germany. That's right, George. It felt to me like, well, like we were going nowhere, really. You never seemed ready to commit. And I've always had the sense that, she pauses, well, that you wanted something more, prettier, better, I don't know. Anyway, I was offered a job in Germany by my friend out there, you know, being bilingual and all, but, well, life throws its curveballs, right? I'm silent, in shock. And the next 3 weeks, I feel myself taking in this news, this newest of news. Week one, I just feel angry with her. I don't answer or return her calls or her increasingly more insistent messages. I'm taken to staring at myself in the mirror. I always fancied myself like a young Warren Beatty with hundreds of options. I recall last Christmas in the wash cupboard with Linda from accounts, French kissing and heavy petting. That's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? Linda's a hottie, blonde hair, big titties, the whole shebang. I still got it, even at 46. Week two, I still don't answer her calls, which have somewhat died down. I'm still absorbing the news. I'm imagining our life together. I mean, she's nothing to look at, sure, but she's smart. She's funny. She's very forgiving, which, let's face it, is pretty important for a man like me. I catch sight of my face in the mirror and realise that I'm going really grey. And my jaw doesn't look as defined as I remember. And I note that Linda from accounts is a little cool towards me these days. Week three. I'm no longer receiving calls from Charlotte and I'm remembering. I'm remembering how she took care of me last February when I got COVID and broke my arm. She fed me, she took care of me, and she does. Yeah, she has the cutest of laughs and such a lovely way with her. She'd actually make a brilliant mum. I mean, when I really think about it, though it pains me to admit, perhaps I'm nothing special myself. Do you know, I feel this weird kind of, I don't know, shame? Is that it? And a longing, right in the pit of my stomach, this weird longing to be loved. I look at the mirror and I think there's some tears there. Yeah. It's strange. I can imagine our little bundle, our little Joe or Jane, you know, taking Joe to football, taking Jane to ballet. I know that's old-fashioned, but I feel excited. It's like the deepest part of me knows that this is just what I need. That's when I realise that I must call Charlotte. I must tell her that I do actually love her. That I'm sorry to have hesitated. Yes, I buy a bunch of roses and I head towards her flat in Wandsworth. The air is heavy and I can smell the rain before it even starts. It gets heavier and I wish I brought a brolly as I feel my new suit getting drenched. A bus rushes past and sprays a stream of thick muddy water onto the left side of my suit. I'm outside her flat and I call her, wanting to surprise her. Charlotte! George! She sounds surprised. Charlotte, sorry, But I don't get to finish my sentence. George, it's okay. I know you weren't happy about it. And it's okay now, really. You see, I had a miscarriage last week. I tried to tell you, but you weren't picking up. So, you see, you don't have to worry about anything. I made my decision, right? And I'm leaving in 2 days to Germany. You're free, George. You're free. Good luck. And she puts the phone down. I try to call her back and she doesn't answer. And I'm standing in the pouring rain and a rose has broken free from the bunch and falls in the gutter, making its slow and meandering way towards the drain.